this is session 5 of the series on the courts of heaven. We've covered a lot of ground already. I've shown court cases I've been involved in and my secret life. I've really opened up. I've talked about the ecclesia and how we function, that the word ecclesia means so much more than we've made it to be. The ecclesia doesn't mean a nice Sunday service. Ecclesiastical. Ek means called out of normal lives. Kaleo, to have a loud voice and a name, to bring command and order. So the ecclesia are the governmental body of Christ to administer his name into creation. So he is the head. He's put all things under his feet for the church, because he was always above it all. There's never been a moment where Jesus wasn't above. But what's different in the new covenant is God joining himself to you and taking you where he is. Putting you above all powers and authorities and names that can be named. And joining you in oneness with himself, that you now exist as a God one. So Jesus, the firstborn of a new creation, a new race. Very different from Adam. Adam, it says, the heavens belong to God, but the earth was given to the sons of man. That's a lovely word. But in the new covenant, Jesus breaks the matrix of the earth and pops the prison membrane. And now says, you are co-heirs of all things with me. In other words, we became non-earthly. That's why the language changes in the Old Covenant from being Israel of the earth to born from above. In other words, he shifted us out of the atmosphere of the terrestrial and into the celestial. So we're a heavenly body throughout space and time. Because even when he lifted us up out of that membrane, he even broke the tether into time. In other words, time, you became timeless. In the old covenant, they were bound by the times and seasons. They were under the moon. The feasts were built around the moon. In the new covenant, Christ has become the fulfillment of the feasts, and all the promises are now yes. In other words, he's broken our tether into time and tethering to being under the government of the earth and under the structures of decay. That's good. So at Kaleo, an assembly of people convened for the purpose of deliberation. The first mention of a word is always very strategic in Scripture. The first mention of ecclesia is in the context of the gates of death. That the gates of death and anything that pertains to death will not prevail. In other words, everything that has the record of the death of your dream, the death of your body, the death of our culture, the death of God's desire, is progressively being defeated by life. That's why we have more food than any other generation, more clothes, more energy, more comfort, hot showers, an abundance of food, connectivity, because life is swallowing up disconnection and death. Life is swallowing up poverty. You are way richer than most people were throughout history. You are so much richer, it's unfathomable to them how rich you are. You could just buy food. Times have changed so much. It used to take 30 people hours to plow a field. It can now be done in 3 minutes with a machine with one person. Well, it used to take 30 people a whole day. 30 men is now done by machine in 3 minutes. So what am I saying? I am saying God is swallowing up the earth with life. And we are strategic to that happening, and we always have been. We are here because they are there. We are here because we are not ever alone. There's not a single thing about you you've managed to do yourself right now except breathing. You didn't make those clothes, you didn't make the car, you didn't make the food, you didn't clean the water, you didn't make that seat. We are intimately connected to this sacred dance and this sacred flow of love, where he clothes you better than Solomon. And now wisdom from God has come in you. So you are honored and highly favored. And you are favored to the point, I love the Passion Translation, it says, where his legislative assembly and the power of death will not be able to overpower it. In other words, he's given you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind, declare to be improper and lawful on earth, must be what is bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, declare lawful on earth, must be what is loosed in heaven. In other words, you are the ones that are conscious of heaven. So you are a government that prevails over darkness. This is why I do not agree with the bad end time theology where Satan wins. I don't agree with that at all. We must not empower a foe that's been defeated. That's madness. Okay? So we are a victorious company to the increase of his government and peace. There will be no end. That's why there's more peace on earth now than at any time in known human history. In the Middle Ages and stuff, villages used to fight villages. I've never had to fight Swansea. Unless you're at a football match. So we are a victorious company who are blurred into heaven, not guessing, but aware, seeing, and being there. And that's where religion steps in and says, no, when you die. Because religion is the cult of death. Remember, it's the law of sin and death. When you come under law, you come under death. Religion is you trying to perfect what he's already perfected. So you are a company that is bound into the knowledge of God. In other words, he has disposed himself to allow you to read the journals of his heart. And in one session, I spoke on that, God's dream and the womb of the morning. The We Land Scrolls says they saw flying scrolls. We are the ones that capture the dream and cause it to be formed and birthed. And it can be manifest through anyone, not just us. So we are moved by above to below, a victorious government who advance from heavenly mandates. This is why Paul put such emphasis. Paul, the gospel, said, heal the sick, missionary. But he said, set your mind on things above. Look on things above. I'm running in the heavenward call. Okay. So you're called out with a special name. You have a special name. You're the Ecclesia. And you even have extra names within that. In heaven, you've got different names based on things you're functioning in as part of his government. And you'll even be given a new name and a white stone and all these other things. So you have a name, you have a voice, and you have a function. What do you have? And a function. In the kingdom realm of the Father. You are strategic to the purposes of God, both for this age and the ages to come. So Ephesians 1:22, listen to the beauty of what Paul wrote. All this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from the dead and set him on a throne in deep heaven. Deep heaven. In charge of running the universe. I like that, just so we know what he's doing. Everything from galaxies to governments, no name and no power exempt from his rule. No name and no power exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all and has the final word on everything. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. Christ rules the ecclesia. Let's call it that for now. Because I'm sure there's a lot of churches where it doesn't seem like Jesus is ruling there. Because I don't think he would recognize a lot of what we call church. You know, he actually said the only church he was going to build is the ecclesia. It's okay to have our gatherings and our expressions. I'm not knocking that. We need community, friendship. We need, you know, all those goody things that happen, creamy goodness that happens. But Jesus said, I'm building a legislative assembly. In other words, I'm building a company of people who have the joy of participating in justice. So Christ rules the church, and listen to this. You see, the church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. We're not on the fringe. The world is peripheral to the church. That's amazing. Which is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts. So you are the vehicle through which Christ speaks and acts. You are his multidimensional body. By which he fills everything with his presence. So you are the filler of communities with his presence. You are the vehicle through which God's presence ushers forth from Eden, which is now in your heart. So you are the river that flows from the throne. You are the rivers of Eden. The four rivers flow through your DNA, through your heart, and water creation. I love this. It says in the Phillips translations, for the church is his body, and in that body lives fully the one who fills the whole wide universe. So within the ecclesia, within the ecclesia, God lives fully as the one who fills. So you're a filling station on the cosmic level. You are a cosmic transdimensional filling station. And this is the gospel. The ecclesia get to see, touch, know, and experience Yod Heh Vav Heh. John said this, we saw him with our own very eyes. We gazed upon him and heard him speak. Our hands actually touched him. The one who was from the beginning, the life expression of God, the life giver was made visible, and we have seen him. That is the remit of the ecclesia, to be the ones that see the face of God. So for us now, the veil is torn. So Paul said, now if anyone is enfolded into Christ, I love that word, enfolded, he has become an entirely new creation. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Ah! Behold, everything is fresh and new. If you read the Bible, you realize what we're teaching a lot of the time in church is not what the Bible teaches. And there's this thing like, let's be biblical. The Bible says you are a brand new creature. The old has gone. That you are seated in Christ in heavenly realms. You are from above and not from this world. It's so radical, the gospel. And we've got to get back to the scandal and radical nature of the gospel, because it is not a human message. I'm quoting Paul there in Galatians. This is not a human message. So if anyone is united in Christ, there is a new world. So not only are you fundamentally new, you've been seeded with incorruptibility, immortality, and life by divine DNA. Not only are you brand new, but the world you live in is a new world. In other words, the moment you receive Jesus and you join yourself in union with him, everything opens up around you. So that's why Paul said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, because the mind is now your issue. See, the way you think determines the world you live in. So, you know, Bill Johnson says, we will know our minds renewed when the impossible looks logical. See, when you've seen the gospel, for me, it's logical that I know, okay, and I'm going to begin to cross over now into harder territory for this generation, but it's where I'm going tonight, talking about angels. For me, I have seen the gospel, I have drunk the wine, I have loved Paul's message, I've been intoxicated by it for over a decade, and I have believed it and seen it, and I'm persuaded by it. I am persuaded by it that I am innocent, completely innocent in him, redeemed in him, seated in him, belong in him. He's in me, and his world is now my world, which means as much as I can see you and touch you and feel you, I can see and touch and know the angels in my life, because Jesus knows the angels in his life. And he's the blueprint and pattern of our design. And as much as Jesus knows the saints, we can know the saints, be supported by the saints, have conversations with the saints. One of the most controversial teachings right now, but it's happening. Almost every ministry I come across is having mentorship from the saints. But very few can talk about it in this culture. But I'm not from this culture. But the reality is there are a cloud of witnesses that are connected to your scroll. Now, the part of you that feels all orphany and insignificant struggles with that. Get over it. You died. Just get it over with. Have a funeral if necessary. And move on into your resurrection life where you are glorious. You have been given a heavenly dignity. You have been called into life and you are surrounded by heaven. See, this next era, is it okay if I just say things that, and just, you can test it, but let's just put it out there. This next century will be the end of many things that are on the earth. It's actually the most pivotal century since Jesus came in terms of fulfilling scripture. And there are things that are going to happen on the earth in the next century. There's such incredible change that it will look like the other eras have nothing compared to the glory that's going to be revealed. And that is actually happening now. It's not disconnected from now. And the earth is going to be radically, radically changed. You know, the Lord Jesus spoke to Mike Bickle from IHOP many years ago. He was in Cairo in a poor hotel room, spending time with the poor, praying and ministering. And the Lord spoke to him audibly, and every word echoed with multiple meanings and dimensions. And the Lord said, in one generation, I am going to completely change the expression and understanding of Christianity upon the earth. Expression and understanding. So it's not going to look the same, and we're not going to think the same about it. In fact, Paul Cain, when he heard that, he prophesied this. He said, and it will never be irrelevant again. What's coming is going to be the golden era of the saints, and you are the saints that are on the earth. So you're becoming golden. Arise and shine. So let's talk about angels. From our very early days in ministry, one of the things we were surprised by was angels. Angels showing up. And nobody told me that was going to happen. I read a book by Gary Oates, which you guys know. I put the podcast on YouTube. He wrote a book, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. See, that's the prayer. Open the eyes of my heart. Your heart is the seat of love. In other words, what you love, you can see. So the way that God opens the eyes of your heart is by causing you to love something so you can see something. I am convinced we are at the time, and I've had many dreams and visions over this. I'll just share a few of them, that there'll be a company that walk with angels like Branham and others. They will move in the winds of the Spirit. So you've had the fire and the wine. They're going to move in the winds, which will be creative miracles and power. The lightnings of God. There'll be a company of people who walk with angels and talk to them face to face, like Columba and Cuthbert, and for them it's normal. In fact, if they don't see an angel, that's abnormal. It will become so common, it will no longer be thought of as an unusual occurrence. So for many years, the Lord was speaking to us about angels, and a friend of mine many years ago, a young prophet, he went to Indonesia, and he was in this church, and there was a very young pastor sitting on the sofa, didn't seem to be much about him, but he had a church of 3,000 people. And my friend was talking to him, said, how did it happen? He said, overnight. Overnight. So we went from like 40 to 3,000 when an angel came. And that church was having so much angelic activity, they had to have ushers to try and help people not bump into each other because they were dancing with angels. And there was this guy who was ministering in there called Daryl Stott. Powerful guy in terms of glory realms. He would go to Indonesia, a Muslim nation, and sit in his hotel room and see lightnings appear and draw out islands and fly around his hotel. He'd sketch them until they looked solid. And then he'd go to the Indonesian people and say, "Where is this?" And he'd go there to see God move. See, you know, the problem with the church is we have not participated with heaven. It's changing now. Thank God for Bethel, places like Bethel. Thank God that things are changing. But we need to accelerate the change in these islands because we're coming back to a day where the angels will walk among us. The saints will walk among us. This has been an abnormal time in history, but the tide is turning. We've got to get back to authentic Christianity. And authentic Christianity is life from another world. It means you're one with God. Salvation is the door, remember? And there's a place beyond the door. We've parked at the door rather than gone through the door. But I am determined. I am preaching to you only what's on my heart, what I'm interceding for, praying for, that I live beyond. No matter how good ministry is right now, it isn't what I see in this. It isn't what I'm seeing in Jesus. It's still the old dressed in the new. It's the old new. It's still not a community saturated with God, who walk with angels, who ascend, who know the mind of God and are infused with wisdom. And we've got to come back to the blueprint of his ways and his thoughts. And to do that, sometimes we've got to let go of what we're walking in because the familiar can kill the dream. And that's the hardest thing. It's not the satanic opposition. It's letting go of the safety and comfort of how you've always done it and how you've always walked and how you've always done your meetings and how you've always experienced God. And you have to deal with the fear of the unknown. You have to deal with the fear. This is why that song, "Wherever You Go, I Will Go," was so good earlier. "You will guide me," because we're going into the beyond. We're going into places we've never been. You haven't been there. You haven't been where we're going. We have not been this way before. We have not been into these realms before. We've not been into these dimensions before as a corporate body. But he has taken us there. He is answering the cries of centuries and prophecies of centuries and prayer movements and stadium prayer movements and prophecies and faithful old grandparents who prayed and people who believed and saw our day. And now heaven's responding and ripping that realm open and the veil is thinning. And now you've got to accept you are not living in that era anymore. So Bobby Connor said this, "Prepare for angelic visitations. We are in the time when the spiritual realm is extremely active. God's holy angels are sent here to help us as we engage the conflict of the ages. The Lord said to Paul Keith Davis, 'I am sending messengers of my face.' I looked up and I saw a door being opened in heaven, and I saw a flood of angels from heaven who'd stood in the presence of God since the beginning of time. I saw them coming and teaching people in their bedrooms." And this is starting to happen. We actually have someone in this place. My mum, you know, Ruthie. You had an angel physically. I put the video on YouTube if you've not seen it. But this, and this is how the ecclesia trigger angels. When my mum moved into a bungalow, she was kind of not settled there. And I prayed, and I knew you did. I prayed for God to intervene. I don't know if you did, but I did. I prayed, "Lord, intervene, because she doesn't feel at home." She woke up, didn't you? Do you want to say what happened? Come here a second. You look a bit whacked, but you can do it because... So, in the middle of the night.
I woke and I just looked. I didn't move, but I just looked and I just saw this beautiful man leaning on my bed like this. And bear in mind, I live on my own. And it was just such a peaceful environment. And I just knew that he was my beautiful angel. I call him my beautiful angel because I don't know what else to call him. But he just looked at me with eyes that were radiating and a smile and the peace that enveloped me. Oh, he had, he was, yes, he's quite youngish with blonde, beautiful mop of blonde hair and gorgeous piercing eyes. And yes, and I only saw him from there because he was kneeling.
You said he was shimmering. Wasn't
yes, he was shimmering. Right? Yes, there was all this hue around him and he was shimmering. And yeah, and could I just share one more thing? I had an accident a few years ago in my car. I had my granddaughter with me, and we aquaplaned. The car, I lost complete control. The car came back that way and went over to, I was going over a bridge on a motorway, and the car went to go up on the barrier. My immediate reaction was I put my hand out over my beloved daughter, my granddaughter, and I remember looking up. It was in a split second. I've not shared this publicly before. And in a split second, I felt as though I looked up and I saw myself leaving my body. I actually saw myself leaving it. And the angelic there. But all the time, I earthed myself onto Bethany. And her strap had gone very tight on her. So she put her hand up like this, and I put my hand over there. And then as we went up on the bridge, on the barrier, and then I saw this huge, massive angel. And he physically pushed the car off the barrier, back onto the road. And we were safe. And in that moment, I remember saying to the Lord, "You can take me, Lord, but don't take Bethany, she's too young." Now, I've never shared that in public before, but just that big, big angel, which was fuzzy, but I know that God protected Bethany and I in the car, and he sent him at the right time.
So we're invoking the law of honor and focus and desire, because that's how the kingdom realm functions. It's whatever you desire will be done for you. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. The problem is, we've been told not to desire working with angels. We created a spiritual apartheid. And it was actually racism. Spiritual racism came into the church. Why? Because religion doesn't really want to know what angels are up to. They don't want to be accountable. Religious mindset doesn't really want to know the heart of what God's doing, because it wants to have its own government. But see, the ecclesia are those who want to be connected to the head. Now, if we're connected to the head, we have to walk with angels. Because as he is, so are you. Is this a little bit too heavy? Or because I got lots to say. And you know, Jesus said, "I have much to say, but you can't bear it." But I believe we have to bear it. And I know that that means tension. I know there's all that, the thoughts that go with it. But the reality is, like with my mum always said, "I want to see that stuff." And I said, "You will." And then she physically saw an angel. She's had many encounters now. She's seen the cloud of witnesses. She's seen her actual spirit body. See, this stuff's happening. My whole Beyond Human book came about because, you know, Rachel's grandfather, Eric Davis, who used to mentor me, and I was a little bit afraid of him, as many people were. He was a good guy. He appeared in my basement and he said to me, "It's time to write that book." So the Beyond Human book only exists now because of direct intervention from grandparents. And he came through the realm of heaven with two angels with him. Now all day I was thinking about him, But this, and everything was reminding me of him. And it's like it was buzzing in the back of my background. Do you know what that is? That's God trying to call you. He's ringing. So you're thinking about heaven or you're thinking about angels. It's actually the telephone of your spirit going, pick me up. So I was finally in my prayer room. And at that moment, I realized he's actually here. This isn't just me thinking. I can feel his physical presence in the room. And I was sitting on the sofa and I turned my face like that and it shifted. The room shifted and standing there was Eric and the two angels, and I could hear his thoughts out loud in my thoughts. And his first thought was, I'm so proud of you that you know how to turn into that reality, because my generation didn't know it was possible. And he said, it's time to write that book. And his immediate thought was, I'm off to visit Maureen and Dor. And he immediately, it was just like he was on the earth. He was very matter of fact. The moment he told me to write the book, I heard his thoughts, I can't wait to get out of here. Do you know what I mean? It was like, I'm off. And he actually did the same thing to Maureen. He appeared in her house, but she wasn't aware of it. She kept thinking of it. But Dor, Auntie Dor, he actually appeared in her dream that night. And then I was on the sofa talking to Rachel that night. I didn't tell her that he'd appeared. I was thinking, how am I going to break the news to the family that Eric just came out of heaven? I thought, I'm not going to tell anyone. So we were watching a DVD or Netflix or something. And Rachel said, oh, something weird today. Beth's been sensing Eric all day. Bethany. And then in the same sentence, no joke, this isn't preaching exaggeration, in the same line, she said, and I feel God's told me it's time for you to write that book. So we had the testimony of four witnesses that this actually happened. See, that your old family members want to engage you. See, scripture says we are one body throughout space and time, and they have engaged you. Many times you've thought about them, thinking I'm missing them, feeling their presence. I've got news for you. It says you're encompassed, like a compass, by such a great cloud of witnesses. And Paul said, that's why we've got to run the race, because they're cheering you on. So the saints are appearing, and they appeared to Jesus. The Catholic Church honored the saints. The saints appeared throughout history. The Reformation came and threw out everything Catholic. But we're having to rediscover God's ways. So God loves angels. Who loves angels? God loves angels. And as he is, so are you. So, you know, Bob Jones prophesied over Sean Baltz many years ago. He said, when you're 30, you're going to go to heaven. And Sean Baltz was going to a meeting that was 5 hours drive from where he lived. He was in the car, and suddenly an archway appeared with eyes. When he drove through the archway, he appeared in Zion. And he saw a panoramic vision. He saw Bob Jones handing out scrolls to angels. He came out of the encounter and he had teleported the entire 5 hour drive immediately. So he was 5 hours early for the meeting. He even had the petrol ticket showing what he just fueled up 5 hours drive away. So he came out of heaven, having been teleported 5 hours up the road from being in heaven. And he got in contact with Bob and said, yeah, Bob said, yep, I saw you. I was handing scrolls out to angels, weren't I? So, you know, see, I think this is going to be the most supernatural generation. What Ruthie's had is just the tip of the iceberg. Even by speaking this out, it's becoming accessible to you, because we're using the law of honor. And words create realities. Think about it. You know, Colin and Mavis, the angels from Cardiff and Wales come into your house. Governmental angels. Angels. Have you ever had an angel show up for you because you're interceding for another person? I was in my sleep, I was interceding, and I was with Robbie Williams, the pop singer. And in this dream, it was like I saw into his heart the hunger he's got for God but doesn't know God, the desire for God. And in this dream, I'm prophesying right into his spirit in his sleep. saying you've been called by Jesus. He loves you. He's chosen you. That hunger, the reason you're into UFOs and all this is because you're seeking truth. You're seeking Jesus. And as I'm prophesying, there's this golden person standing next to me, which is his angel. Well, as I wake up in the morning, the angel's still next to my bed. It just thanked me and then left. See, these are the things God wants to open up. These are the dimensions he wants to open up. You know, the cloud of witnesses and realms of glory with one body, teleportation, trans relocation. You know, do you know what? New Zealand's just there in the spirit. Australia's just there in the spirit. The throne is just there. The council's just there. Eden's just there. It's all at hand. Yeah. So we're joining. Yeah. We're joining in a massive thing right now. We're joining in something massive. If we come back to Hebraic understanding, they say this prayer on Friday nights. Peace be unto you, Malachi HaSharet. Angels of service, angels of the Most High, from the King of the King of Kings, the Holy One, blessed be He. So they speak a blessing over their angels. Or what about this? Before going to sleep, this is what they recite. To my right, Michael. To my left, Gabriel. In front of me, Uriel. And behind me, Raphael. And over my head, God Shekinah. But why are we so disconnected when, you know, Christians don't even know about Uriel and Raphael. They don't know about the archangels. But, you know, in Jewish mysticism, they know there's an angelic canopy. There's the archangels. Here's a list of some of them. Metatron, Raziel, Zaphkiel, Zadkiel, Gabriel, Uriel, Haniel, Michael, Raphael, Sandalphon. Now, I'm speaking them out. Now, they are many frequencies and names. You'll see them translated in lots of ways. These are the categories of angels. In other words, there's different dimensional frameworks and beings of angels. In other words, they're different. You've got, you know, some of the ones I've encountered, Elohim. I've encountered B'nai Elohim. I've encountered Kashmelium and Ophanim. Ophanim are one of the most common ones that I see because they're the lightnings of revelation. And often there'll be the eyes that flash, and you'll see a flash, and revelation comes. That's why in our culture they say there was a light flash when they get an idea. It's because it's the ministry of the Ophanim. And they're called spheres because they sometimes appear like that on cameras and stuff. But they're lightnings. They're living lightnings. That's why they say the light came on when you get an idea. It's because angels pull from heaven his goodness, and they plant it into the earth to change the world. And there are angels ascending and descending all over creation. Seraphim, Kashmelium. Kashmelium are when you see shimmering colors. Like when you see like rainbow effects, colors like that. Elohim are the judges. The reason I'm speaking about angels is last time we did justice, I was here for hours before, and for like 6 hours, these men or women, beings called Elohim came. Now remember, it says God made us a little lower than the Elohim. So it's in scripture, and it basically means magistrates and judges. And they came in, and they came to see if we wanted to engage the courts of heaven. And I did. I went off with them. They've been appearing to me all week. This is why I'm talking about angels. But I was aware of the presence of angels. See, you know, it takes time and focus to open up these realms. Okay. So these are like the names that some people give them. Judges, messengers. See, Gabriel is a messenger angel. One of the first angels I ever saw was a messenger angel called Swift. And Swift was the first angel I saw in 2005. I was in a conference and I went into a trance. The room got cloudy and I couldn't move. And this young-looking guy in like metallic, flexible armor, like almost like a wetsuit, but made of metal, ran towards me from the back of the conference. And all I could see was this mist and this guy. And he ran up to me and he smiled. And he said, "My name's Swift. From now on, the word of the Lord will be fulfilled swiftly. It will not be delayed." He smiled and then ran off. That night at 2:22, the Lord woke me up and gave me Ezekiel 12:22, which says this: no more will the word of the Lord be delayed. It will come to pass swiftly. And it says, so in your days, tell Israel, O rebellious house, I am going to perform my word without delay. I'm telling you now, listen up, listen up. We've been sitting on the century of prophetic revelation, and that angel came to me and said, no more delay. And you look at how much change has happened since 2005. Yeah. So much so, the prophetic ministry movement doesn't even know what to do with the new mystics. And that's just the beginning of a bride rising, not a movement. It's never meant to be a movement. It's about love. A company who are so in love with Jesus that they blur the boundaries and they start to live a beyond human life. For if anyone's in Christ, there's a new creation. And I refuse to go back, and I'm pressing in right now. And I'm calling you guys to rise up and believe that we're a forerunner nation in what God wants to do in Europe's day, that the gospel is going to rise from these islands, but it's going to be different to anything we've seen before. It's going to be different to previous moves of the Spirit, because it's not going to be a move of the Spirit. It's going to be a brand new world emerging upon us that redefines it. And I'm prophesying now, the prophetic books that have been written will seem like childish books. They will seem like baby books. And in fact, the prophetic movement and previous expressions will begin to be forgotten almost overnight as new expressions of God's glory and mercy come upon the earth and the gospel is preached again with demonstrations and with awe and wonder. And there are things that are going to happen that have not entered into the heart of man, where we go into the mysteries of God and the revelation, and we will tremble at his goodness. So we honor you, angels. Just begin to see them now as if you're in the courts. You are welcome. You are welcome. What has weight in my heart has expression in the earth. And you have weight in my heart. You have value in my heart, for you are co-workers with me for the glory of Yeshua, for the glory of Yod Heh Vav Heh. And I admit, we know nothing, but we want to know. We want to know. We want to know. We want to know. Teach us the science of the unseen. Teach us the ways of God. Teach us the ways of God. The ways of God, not man. God's ways. God's ways. God's ways. People of the cloud. People of the blessed. People of the cloud. Lord, we say we are cloud riders and cloud walkers. We are the people that we've been waiting for. And we dare to believe it all. We have courage. The Elohim, they function in one of the attributes of God called courage and eternity. So, Father, I thank you for the courage that comes from walking in eternity. For our momentary afflictions are working for us a far more excellent and eternal weight of glory.